What in the world is going on? And welcome back to the Joe Kingdom Perspective. This is the show that gives you a kingdom perspective on clips from the Joe Rogan Experience so that you might be able to discern just how the kingdom is advancing in the most unexpected of places, through the most unexpected of people, and in the most unexpected of ways. I am your host, Dub Alexander. I'm here with my great friends, V. Ryan Pena, Dr. Tony Robinson. How are you guys?
Great.
Doing good.
I saw how you waited, so that wasn't, that was nice, very nice. And I'm excited to continue breaking down this conversation between Joe and comedian Jimmy Carr. I was blown away by how much kingdom language they use in this episode, talking about what it is that you carry and how you shift atmospheres when you walk into a room. Let's check it out.
To teach stand-up, the idea of knowing how you're perceived in the world is such an underrated skill.
Very.
Because knowing how you change the atmosphere when you walk in a room, like, it's often the way with, like, I don't know if you ever noticed this, like, very, very beautiful people, like super symmetrical, beautiful people, tend to speak very slowly. Never been interrupted. No one's ever interrupted the, what, sorry.
Right.
You're a what? You're a Asian provocateur model. What?
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Hanging on every word. I speak very quickly because this. But, you know, you've got that thing of, like, you don't quite know. I'm sure Marilyn Monroe just thought that's how people, when you walk in a room, everyone turns around and looks.
Yeah.
That's how rooms work.
Isn't that what was?
Because she never gets to experience the world through someone else's eyes.
Isn't that Socrates' quote? Was it Socrates that said, beauty is a short-lived tyranny?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's good, yeah.
You dominate with symmetry, you know, and you don't really have to be that interesting if you're gorgeous.
Well, listen, people that are gorgeous and listening, lean into it. You might as well use what you've got while you've got it.
Oh, yeah. You've got a Willy Wonka golden ticket.
Yeah,
yeah, right. If you're smart, you'd invest in all those other things,
isn't it
too
interesting how we think people that are born beautiful, lucky. She's just lucky. It's easy for her or him. It's easy because they were born beautiful. We never say that about smart people. We never think, oh, it's easy for Joe Rogan. He was born really smart and inquisitive. Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, it's easy for him to write comedy because he's got that noggin on him. So it's easy. No one ever thinks that. People go, oh, no, he did the work. And that's the great illusion of our culture. There's two great lies. One is talent and one is hard work. And they're both lies and we know they're lies. I'll tell you who Michael Jordan is without hard work.
Yeah.
No one.
No one. Yeah.
He had all the talent in the world, that physical prowess, and obviously not everyone can do that. So it's a mix of the two. It's always going to be that. I talk about it as edge. What's your edge in life? What could you do better than anything else? You don't have to do it the best in the world, but what's your thing that you bring to the party? What's the thing that you... Here's a great question. What do you find easy that other people find hard? It's interesting you talked about being shy when you were 16.
Yeah.
And yet you've lent into it to a degree where your whole life is putting people at ease and welcoming them and talking to them.
Yeah.
And you were nervous talking to a bank teller.
So now we know why I talk so fast, and Doc talks so slowly.
Yes.
Ryan speaks medium speed. So ridiculous, but so awesome. I love how they're bringing up the topic of self-awareness, emotional intelligence, knowing how you're perceived when you walk into a room. And that is such an area that everyone in the world can benefit from. You know, and that ability to step outside of yourself and to engage in others' perceptions of you for the purpose of impact, for the purpose of advancing the kingdom, all of those things, that self-awareness piece is so huge. And they even talked about how does the atmosphere in a room shift when you walk in? And I would just say right there, right off the top, anybody who's watching this episode, those would be two great questions for you to engage in today after you finish listening to this podcast. The next room you walk into, think about that. How am I being perceived when I walk into this room? And how is the atmosphere shifting? And what can I do to align with the nature of God in such a way that the perception is beneficial and the way that the atmosphere shifts is beneficial as well? So let's get into it. Let's start out to you guys.
Dr. Tony?
I love how they talked about knowing how that room shifts when you enter to it. And you just said something, you said for the purpose of impact. And I was thinking that impact and influence are two different things. So we carry influence when we walk into a room that we're often unaware of, because we're just living our everyday self. You know, like Marilyn Monroe, she never, like I said, she never had the ability to see what everyone else saw. So she just showed up as herself, and the weight of who she was carried great influence. But how do we leverage that influence that we carry to move it into impact? Because we can go into a room and have this awareness, and I have awareness that I shift the atmosphere when I walk in the room, but then what's going to happen after that? It's beyond just shifting the atmosphere. We want to be able to carry an influence that creates an impact, so that when we leave, those that have been impacted by what we carried are now influenced to go and leverage their influence to create an impact. Does that make sense?
Come on, absolutely. Yes, that continuance of it, right? Mm-hmm. What kind of a mark can you leave in a room, in an atmosphere, in an interaction with somebody, so that it continues in that ripple effect? And that phrase he said about Marilyn Monroe, she just thinks that's how rooms work.
Yes.
And she missed, no, that's how you work.
Yes.
And so that realization of, oh, no, that's not how things respond. That is the impact or the influence or the shift that I make when I walk into the room. Man, that level of self-awareness is awesome.
You know, you look at King David in scripture, and people related to him as a king long before he ever had a throne. It was the way he carried himself. It was the way that he believed what had been spoken over his life. There were things about him that, even though he did not have a crown, even though he didn't have a throne, he had people that looked to him as a leader, as a king. And even when he did get anointed as king, like to actually step into it, I mean, he was anointed many years before he actually stepped into it by Samuel. But when he does finally become king, it's interesting. The first 7 years, he is only king in the southern part of Israel, only over Judah. The northern part did not receive him yet as king. But as they saw what he carried and what he did, then they did receive him over the whole nation for the next 33 years, because he reigned a total of 40. So it's really interesting to me. Number one is that very often what God has called you to, like, I feel like there's a few things we see there. One, David knew in his heart from Samuel, this is what God has called you to be. You are going to be the next king. But there had to be a point where people received him as king. He couldn't just say, hey, Saul, you're on my seat there, buddy, you know, step off. And then he just takes over. There was a process of him, number one, discovering the kingship within him. And number two, people recognizing the kingship on him. And that was a process, right? But it all had to do with how did David perceive himself? And so there are times where I know here they were talking about like beautiful people, symmetrical people, whatever. Listen, I've seen some people that are just, you know, not going to be on the model runway stage. Beautiful in God's eyes, of course. But when they walk in, there's something that there's a respect. They walk in an authority. They are a master in maybe a certain area, and people recognize that. But see, I think a lot of that goes back to how do you see yourself?
Come on.
Right? So we mentioned this in another episode about where Israel goes into the promised land, right? It's a land of inheritance. And they said, the giants there perceived us as grasshoppers because that's the way we saw ourselves.
Yep.
Now the enemy never talked to them.
Yeah. Never saw them as far as we know.
I mean, these guys are hiding, whatever, but in their own mind, they projected their insecurities on how somebody else was seeing them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so that's where, you know, a lot of times the way you're going to perceive the way people receive you, a lot of times that's going to be how you receive yourself. Mm-hmm. how you see yourself, right? And so, you know, I love how he was talking about Joe, how he was a very insecure person before. So somebody who's insecure is not at ease at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he makes the connection, Jimmy makes the connection, and now, Joe, you bring people at ease.
Come on.
Yes.
The very thing that was against you was actually flipped around to where now you present that and you bring others into ease when you lived all your life in uneasiness, mm-hmm. insecurity. I mean, that was incredible. That's powerful.
Yes.
This dude, I mean, the more I listen to this guy, I was like, this guy's amazing.
Yes.
Before we continue this conversation, I've got a question for you. What pops into your mind when you hear the phrase spiritual warfare? For me, it used to be fasting. It used to be long nights of intercession. It used to be a lot of worry and fear about, is the devil going to get me today? Listen, King Jesus defeated the enemy on the cross, and we simply show up to enforce the already victory of King Jesus. If you would like to hear a kingdom perspective that will allow you to operate from peace and joy with no more fear, no more striving, no more exhausting old school spiritual warfare techniques and tactics, head over to kingdomspiritualwarfare.com and get you some of that goodness.
I think that's something to look at. Like, what has been a plague in your life, right? Very often, the lies that have hit you the most are the things that you are assigned to dismantle.
Come on.
Come on.
And rather than it being a crutch that is designed to keep you down, you recognize, well, let's flip that around. I mean, mm-hmm. Dub, you know, you do that in an amazing way where you help people. Okay, well, what's the opposite of that?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh my goodness, I never even thought of this. And it's part of what they carry. It's part of what they bring to others. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just thought this was amazing. The way that you're going to be perceived, I think, starts with how you perceive yourself.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the level of discernment and perception that this Jimmy Carr guy has is a super high level. That last piece you were touching on really reminded me of my favorite quote of all time. Kim Clement said that your place of pain shall become your place mm-hmm. of rain. And that's what Joe did with the shyness to now, you know, what you said, that putting people at ease and making sure that they feel comfortable communicating. It's so powerful. And I think that perception of how you see yourself, you know, there's these two sides to who you are in the kingdom. There's your last name, which you share with everyone, something that you carry that all of us carry. And then there's first name. There's unique things that you carry as well. And so every single one of you who watches this episode, all of you, when you show up, God shows up because the person of Holy Spirit has joyfully taken up residency inside of you. You are not God, but you are one with God and inseparably so. When you show up, God shows up. Heaven is in God. Heaven is a dimension within God that God chooses to present himself in a specific way. So if heaven is in God or God is in you, then heaven is in you. So when you show up, heaven shows up. The culture of heaven shows up. There's a heavenly solution for every earthly problem. When you show up, the solutions of heaven are present. So every room that you walk into, the odds have shifted dramatically in favor of everybody else in the room because of who you are and who you carry and what you carry when you show up. Now, that is true of all of us, but then there's also what I'd like to call first name attributes, things that are unique to you. And so when you discover those, then you can begin to intentionally leverage that for the benefit of the people in the room. And so the three things, for a while there, I remember I would intentionally tap three times on a doorway before I stepped into a room to remind myself of the three primary things that I carry, which is joy, hope, and wisdom. And so when I walk into a room, my intent is in every conversation, I'm going to try to make the person laugh. I'm going to try to inspire them, bring some hope, encourage them. And then lastly, hopefully speak into some area of their life, providing some wisdom so that they're able to advance more quickly. And rooms respond well to the attributes of the nature of God and to the strategies of heaven. All of those things are attractive. They are, you will naturally find favor when you know who you are, who you carry, what you carry, and how you show up. And it just takes a little bit of work to identify that and then intentionality to apply that. So what do you see in that, Doc?
A lot. That's gold right there. I think, especially when we know this is to be fairly true, that we don't see people as they are, we see people as we are. And so when we can get a clear perception of who we are, that helps us to see people rightly. And so being able to know what you carry, joy, wisdom, hope, when you can see yourself as the courier of that, you know, I'm on assignment here. I'm going to go and release that. And I'm bringing something to the table that people can capture and then that they can walk out. One of the things he said, that I wanted to tap into as well is he said about the two great lies, talent and hard work. And I think we buy into those two lies a lot, right? Because it's like we're going to rely only on our talent, because if we don't have a right perception of ourselves and we see ourselves as, you know, we only get by on our talent and we don't add anything else to it. If I'm just gifted to make people laugh, then I'm going to be the class clown everywhere I go. But when I see that that is, I can apply some hard work to that, you know, or apply work to that, come into agreeance that I want to develop this. When those are, there's a congruency between hard work and talent, then I actually have something I think that I can deposit. I'm just not here to make you laugh for a moment. I'm here to make you laugh. And in, as you're inspired in your laughter, you're going to come, something in you is going to be ignited to come alive because I've apprehended another aspect or another perception of my identity and what I carry. So when you converge those two things together, and then there's the hard work aspect, if I feel like I just have to only work at this because I don't have talent, then there's a lie that I'm believing that I don't have any, you know, innate value or any innate worth. And so it's it that will cause me to, I think, to walk in false humility. Well, you know, it was just all work. I'm really not gifted for this. It's just hard work. And so then I'm going, what I'm going to reproduce is a thought process that you can only become who you are through hard work, that you don't have any innate value, religion, unless you're working, right? And so when we bring the two together, that I think fortifies the true identity of who we are and that what that brings out. So
come on, fire.
It's good. I think especially now in the day that we're living, people are struggling to find, like, where do I fit? You know, some of the things that we talk about, Dub, is like your origin, your identity, your purpose, your destiny, right? That's one of the big things we hit on. I mean, those are a few things we hit on quite a bit in School of Kingdom, and recognizing where you come from, who you are, what you carry, and what tables you're called to carry those things to. And you, if it's great to have at least one of those. I mean, I know in the body of Christ, and this has been so necessary and so needed, there's been a huge push over maybe the last decade, especially on identity, like who you are. So important, so necessary. But I can hear all these things about this is who I am, but then what do I do with it? Where do I take that? And so many people are like, man, I've got all this identity. I'm this, I'm that. God says this about me. The Bible says this about me. It's like, awesome. What are you doing with it?
Come on.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't really know. I mean, I'm trying to figure that out still. And that's okay. I mean, I get that, right? We're all in process. But what I believe that one of the things Holy Spirit is really wanting to, and along with this, identity and kingdom. You're hearing more about the kingdom coming back around full circle. Again, awesome and great. But I think Holy Spirit is really emphasizing not only your identity, not only kingdom, but who are you in the kingdom? Where is your place in the kingdom? Where do you fit in the kingdom? I don't need you just to know who you are. I need you to know the impact of who you are and where you're called to bring it.
Yes. Come on. Yes.
So that's what I need. I need to know, because there are things right now that are, we would say they're lacking only because somebody hasn't discovered that's where they fit.
Let's go.
Come on.
That's the only thing. And I will say this. I mean, I've seen this in business. I've seen this in churches. I've seen this in ministry. The things that sometimes people would complain about the most and even leave the church or leave the company because they don't do this and they don't have that. What I began to realize is the things that they were complaining about were actually not the thing that was meant to drive them away, but the thing that they were meant to fill.
Come oh, on. Goodness. Yes. Yes.
That's why it stands out to you
yes,
so much.
Yes.
That's why it's so noticeable. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're so passionate about mm-hmm. it, because you're actually called to bring a solution to that area mm-hmm. that you see as a lack.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. But if I don't, again, I may know who I am. I may know kingdom principles, but here's the next thing. Who are you in the kingdom? Where do you fit? Where is your assignment? And I believe Holy Spirit is really highlighting that to us right now.
Yes, yes, yes. I love that, because we are absolutely called to become the more and not be critical of the lack. And if we don't have an awareness of that, we walk away from assignments prematurely, mm-hmm. creating a greater void or a greater lack. So I love that. I was thinking about, as you were talking, something you said triggered something he said about Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. Like, who would Michael Jordan be without hard work and talent, the identity, kingdom, and where you fit, right? And I remember, oh my gosh, this was so many years ago, my husband and I were watching ESPN, and Michael Jordan had said something, because, you know, it's undisputable in his mind and the world that he was the greatest basketball player. But I remember it was one of those brief moments where humility showed up in him, and he said, I may not be the greatest basketball player ever known. There's guys that are more talented than me. They're just unknown. Like, they're in prison or they're somewhere else. They just don't know. And it's like, so we can know who we are. Like, I'm a much greater basketball player than Michael Jordan. He's not the best. Like, I know who I am. I know I could put up triples and all of these things. But if I don't have a kingdom perspective of where I'm supposed to be playing and what I'm supposed to play, the role that I'm supposed to be playing in it, I have all this talent. So for instance, let's use prison for instance. If I have all this talent and I'm in the kingdom, which isn't a kingdom, it's a system that as often as most systems of darkness are trying to pose as a kingdom, I'm useless within that kingdom, because that's not the system or the kingdom that I was designed to play in. Mm-hmm. So when they get that aspect of the kingdom and then who you are and what your role is, and I could be the most talented basketball player that put Michael Jordan in shame and has some shoes like, you know, Tony, number 24 on it, right? But maybe my role was never to be in the NBA. My role is to become a coach so that I can then coach all the up and coming Michael Jordans, so that we can have diversity in different other realms and spheres of influence, because I had the three components put together and I had a revelation of it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me that Elisha did double the miracles of Elijah, mm-hmm. yet his name is never mentioned beyond his own stories.
Wow.
Come on.
But yet throughout scripture, you see Elijah, who is the OG, right? Mm-hmm. Elijah was the prophet that a double portion of his grace, his mantle, the spirit that was on him was given to Elisha. Mm-hmm. And Elisha went on to do greater. But scripture honors Elijah, the OG, mm-hmm. more than it does Elisha.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have an Elisha without an Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, yeah, he ran from Jezebel, he got discouraged, whatever, you know, all these things that people preach about. Yeah, yet John the Baptist is not walking in the spirit of Elisha.
Come on.
The double portion.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking in the spirit and power of Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus makes reference to that as well. You know, the spirit of Elijah has come, is now, and will come again. Like, so there's all these things. It scripture is honoring not the one who walked in the double portion. Scripture is honoring the pioneer that made it possible for someone to walk in a double portion.
Come on.
That's the way, you know, I think we need to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's people today, they're like, oh man, you know, this player, that player, and oh, they're greater than Michael Jordan. Even if that's true.
Mm-hmm.
They probably would never have been who they are without somebody like a Jordan
coming in to open up that
opportunity.
Yes.
To open. I mean, who was dunking like Michael Jordan back in the day? Who was dunking from the free throw line like that guy? who was doing all these different things that nobody had thought about.
Yes.
And so even though there might be some areas of greater talent right mm-hmm. now, somebody had to break that open.
Come on.
Somebody had to break open the creativity mm-hmm. to think somebody can dunk from that place.
Yes.
Somebody can do a 360. Somebody can do this and that. And it just begins to stir. So you might have some people today that are operating in a greater dimension, or let's say greater metrics, numbers, right? Oh, they got more of this, more of that, whether it's in business or sports or whatever. But the thing is this, the way the kingdom works is the kingdom is operating the fathers that were the foundation, the Come mothers on. That were the foundation for yes. these sons and daughters yes. Yes. to actually excel in what they're in today.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what we get to do.
Yes.
We get to be part of that, mm-hmm. right? And so, yeah, when you brought up Jordan, that just kind of, that whole thing with Elijah and Elisha started yes. just kind of sparking off yes. in me. So yeah, thank you for that.
I kind of feel funny. I'm like, I always bring up regular people. Ryan brings up scripture. I'm like, I need to be saved.
I like it. Come on. Kingdom is everywhere when you know how to look.
Yes.
That's the win right there. So let me leave you guys with a great exercise to discern what it is that you carry. I loved how he said, what is your edge in life? Or better yet, what do you find easy that others find hard? So many times I meet people and they say, well, I don't know what it is that I carry. I don't know what, you know. Well, it's probably something that you're already operating in, but it comes so easily to you and it's so familiar to you that you don't recognize how great it is. And so a great exercise would be to sit down and to think, okay, what is it that people come to me for? When people reach out to me without my, you know, engaging or initiating the conversation, and they are looking to pull on something that I carry, what is it that they are looking for? Are they looking for relationship advice? Are they looking for financial advice? Are they looking for, what is it that people come to you for? And it's just easy for you, but they are so appreciative. They're so shocked at how you were able to bring change to that situation. It probably feels super familiar to you, but it's phenomenal in its nature. Mm-hmm. And so go do that exercise, own who it is that you are, what you bring to the table, and then begin to intentionally leverage that on other people's behalf. And you, my friends, will change the world. We'll see you next time.
You already know, it's the Joe Kingdom Perspective.